I want to just do a brief recap of the point that I made last week. Let me say first of all that I've been a Christian a long time, since I was about 15, and I've taught in Sunday school, or I've taught in some way since I was that age, really. And I don't know that I'm not really can say that God's put this call on my life to be a preacher. Okay. But let me just say that, and I don't know how other pastors or preachers feel about this, but I want to tell you that most of what I talk about is birthed out of my own experiences. So I don't stand before you in any way thinking I've got all the answers. I stand before you humbly, saying, I struggle like you struggle. I go through things just like you go through things. I do not pretend that somehow I am this wonderful, great person and have all the answers. I am not. These things that I share with you, literally, they are birthed out of my own pain, my own distress that I go through and that I've been through. And I'll be reading the scripture, trying to find some resolution, and God will just open it up and say, well, here's what this happened here. Why don't you try that? So I want to, and that's this message, take up your positions, was birthed out of that time in my life. So remember Jehoshaphat, our text is in 2 Chronicles 20. Verse 17 is the primary text. And Jehoshaphat is king over Judah when war is declared on Judah. And the first position that he took up, and I covered it last week, I'm just going to hit the highlights, is the position of prayer. And in verse 3, it just said, Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And so you can read his prayer in verses 6 through 12. And as I was reading his prayer, there were four things that stood out to me about Jehoshaphat's prayer. Now, Jehoshaphat is facing, and Israel is, or Judah, is facing this insurmountable army. And in his cry out to God, he says that we don't know what to do. How many have ever been in a situation where you did not know what to do? If everybody doesn't raise their hand, I'm going to call you out. All of us have. No one is immune to this. So he did four things in his prayer. The first thing that he did was he recognized who God was. And oh, I so appreciate the songs that we sang this morning in the worship time. There is none like God. I've started all my prayers now. Lord, there is none like you. You are the mighty one. You are the great I am. None can compare to you, Father. That's how you should start your prayer. And then you should review what God has done for you. That's what Jehoshaphat did. He reviewed and said, Lord, you did this and this. So let's spend some time in our prayer when we're crying out to God in a situation that we don't know what to do, reviewing what God has done for us. And then we should remind not God, but ourselves of his promises. Lord, you have said that you will do this. And I hold on to that promise. So these things are not to God knows who he is. God knows what he's done. God knows what his promises are. Those are for your and my benefit, to strengthen us in our faith. And then the last thing is make our request and our plea to God. And Jehoshaphat, and it doesn't have to be something long and extravagant and big words or anything like that. Here's Jehoshaphat's plea. He says this in verse 12, O our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. So, that's the first position, the position of prayer. And that's the quick version. I spent all last week talking about that. Gave you a lot more scriptures to go with it. In that prayer, though, there's one thing that we have to be careful in that we do, that we listen to the Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If you'll notice that in verse 14, after he prayed, it says that in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. And he said, listen. And he goes on and he tells what they should do. We can learn from that. When we are in distress, when we are in crisis mode, when we are at our wits' end, at the end of the rope, and not knowing what to do, and we're praying our prayer, we need to pray, make our request, and listen. What is the Spirit telling us to do? Not what my eyes see, not what my ears hear. What is the Spirit telling me to do? And I'll talk more about that in just a minute. So the second position, and this is where we're going to begin today, is with this idea of praise. That is the second position that we are to take up. I want you to look at 2 Chronicles 20. We're going to look at 18, 19, and 21 and 22. And in 18, he says, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. The Levites from the sons of Kohathites and the sons of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. One of the things I got out of this is we bow to worship, we stand to praise. Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire. And they went out before the army and said, Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. The position of praise, I believe, is vital to the success of our victory over whatever it is we're facing, whatever situation we're enduring. God, if you'll notice in verse 22, he began his work when the praise flowed out. You want to ambush your enemy? You want to ambush your problem and your distress and your trouble? Start by praising the Lord. Lift up your hands and praise Him. Don't praise Him for the situation. That's not biblical. But praise Him for, in the I read from the NASB, but in the NIV and the NLT, the New Living Translation, the New International Version, there in verse 21, it says, praise Him for the splendor of His holiness. Praise Him for His holy splendor. Praise Him for His enduring love. Praise Him for His acts of power and mighty deeds. Psalm 150 and 2. And I'm going to be doing these very fast because I have them typed out on my notes. And I won't be turning because it's fumbling to turn sometimes, and I have so many scriptures. Psalm 150 and 2 says, Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. So you want to praise the Lord? Praise him for his splendor of his holiness, his enduring love, his powerful and mighty deeds, his surpassing greatness. Praise him with every bone of your body. Psalm 35:10. All my bones, David says, will say, Lord, who is like you? All my bones, all my being, everything about me. Lord, who is like you? Who delivers the afflicted from him who is too strong for him? I tell you, you're going to face some things that's too strong for you. That's just it. You're going to have to depend on God. Lord, who is like you? Who delivers the afflicted from him who is too strong for him, and the afflicted and the needy from him who robs him? And this is one I love, Psalm 69:34. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. Everything should praise the Lord. Psalm 148:1-4. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him from the skies. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all the armies of heaven. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you twinkling stars. Praise him, sky above. Vapors high above the clouds. Everything, praising the Lord. Praise him for his son. Praise him for his salvation. Praise him for his eternal life that he's given to you. Psalm 106:2 says, who can speak of the mighty deeds of the Lord, or who can show forth all his praise? In other words, who can ever praise you enough? We can never praise him enough. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Amen. Just praise the Lord. Are you getting a picture of this position of praise? If not, I'm not going to do it again, but last week I read Revelation 4 and 5. Read Revelation 4 and 5. If you can't read Revelation 4 and 5, I'd encourage you to do it while you're playing the Revelation song. But if you can play the Revelation song and read Revelation 4 and 5 and not get goosebumps, man, you need to check yourself, because it just is all over me whenever I do that. I tease talk to people. I say, you know, I've got two playlists on my phone. One is the music that I grew up with as a teenager. You can figure that out, what it might be. And when I'm mowing, I like to listen to that. But then there's another playlist that I've started listening to while I mow. And that's my praise playlist. And Revelation song's in there. And every time I'm just like, oh man. I almost start weeping sometimes just praising the Lord. Take up the position of praise. We bow low to worship and we stand to praise. When you're ready to win the battle over whatever it is, take up the position of praise rather than complaining and murmuring. I hear lots of complaining. I've done lots of complaining and murmuring. I'm going to do more praising now. Amen? I challenge you to do the same thing. This third position is the position of participation. Now, it's not what you think. 2 Chronicles, this is our main text, chapter 20, verse 17. This is what the Lord said when the Spirit of the Lord moved upon Jehazel. This is what the Spirit of the Lord said. Not what they saw, not what they heard. It's what the Spirit of the Lord said. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Another translation says position yourselves. Stand He never said draw a sword. He said stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. God was going to fight their battle, but they still had to do something. They still had to participate in some way. I believe that when we participate, it involves the first two things that I've already talked about, prayer and praise. We participate in prayer and praise. But also, it involves us standing firm. Standing firm. Sometimes we have to position ourselves to see the deliverance the Lord will give to us. Judah had to go out. They still had to face the enemy. They weren't going to be able to sit in their tents drinking their goat's milk or whatever they drank. While God destroyed the armies of Moab, the Ammonites, and Mount Seir, Judah also had to not only go out and see this and stand and see what was going on, at the end of it all, they had to go out and gather in the spoils of the victory. They had to participate in the battle to enjoy the victory. And sometimes the participation may just be to be like the Israelites were when they faced the Red Sea before them and Pharaoh's army behind them. What did Moses say? He said, "Stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today." The Egyptians, or your trouble, or your distress, or your crisis, you see today will never be seen again. The Lord Himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. That's the New Living Translation. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Just calm down. Let God handle this. No, no, no. We have got to do something. We've got to get our hands in it and do something. Whether it's a personal crisis or whether it's some other global crisis or whatever. And I'm not saying that if you are without a job, that you can just sit at home and expect someone to call you and say, "Hey, I got a job paying $50,000 a year if you'll just come over here and do it." No, sometimes we have to go out and make applications. We have to try these things. But we've got to be willing to sometimes just stand still and watch what God's going to do rather than get our grimy little hands in all of God's business. That's just all how else to put it. So that's participation. Doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to go out and fix every problem that we have and try to, but sometimes God is just saying, "Hey, listen to my spirit. Pray about this. Give me the praise. Stand and watch what I can do." And the final position is to place our eyes on the Lord. You know, at the very end of Jehoshaphat's prayer, he says, "O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you, Lord." When there is nothing else for you to do, and I can't tell you how many times this has been in my life, because I am by nature, my personality is just, "You can fix this, just go fix it. You can take care of this, just go take care of it." And I just turn everything into a big mess. when there's nothing else for you to do, just look to Jesus. This represents our faith. Jehoshaphat later on told him in verse 20, he said, have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. When we stand and have faith in what God's going to do, we'll be upheld. Hebrews 12:2 tells us to look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. I love this story. We have heard this story. If you've been in church any time, you've heard the story of the disciples being in the boat and the storm coming up, and they see Jesus walking on the water. They don't know it's Jesus. They think it's a ghost. Turn over there with me to Matthew 14. I just want to quickly read this to you. Matthew 14. You've heard this story since you were in preschool at church. But I want to pick up at verse 22 of Matthew 14. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. He just finished feeding 5,000. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. You ever have contrary winds around your house? And in the fourth watch of the night, somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6, he came to them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage, don't be afraid. Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water. He said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took him hold of him and said to him, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Peter got his eyes off of Jesus. And this is, you'll hear this story taught this way. I have since I was a kid. Peter got his eyes off of Jesus. He started looking at what was going on around him. And he began to sink. He was losing his faith. My encouragement to you is this, just like it was for Jehoshaphat. Don't worry about the surrounding enemy. Don't worry about the surrounding problem. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't live your life distracted by the wrong things. I'm going to say that again. Do not live your life distracted by the wrong things. Because whatever you focus on, whatever is all, I've got to do this, I've got to handle this situation, I've got to do this, we've got to do something as a country, whatever it is you're focusing on all the time, you invite that into your life. Whether it is faith or whether it is fear. Proverbs tells us this in 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Jesus said this, and they don't have all these scriptures, but this one does. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. What's in your heart? What are you thinking about? What are you filling your mind with? Is it Jesus? Is it Christ? Is it the gospel? Is it that God loves you and we're sharing that with the world and we're fulfilling the Great Commission? Isaiah 26:3, and these are all from the ESV, the English Standard Version. I don't think we have that in our repertoire of Bibles back there, but he says this, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. It doesn't say you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on his trouble. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on the troubles of the world. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Because why? He trusts in you, Lord, not himself or herself, not in their government, but on you. That's who they trust. Colossians 3, 1 through 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are in the earth. Set your mind on kingdom things, not on earthly things. Romans 8, 6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. And I might add joy and love and gentleness and goodness and meekness and temperance and faith. All these things. Because our mind is set on the Spirit, not the flesh, not the world. Not our problem. I don't dismiss the problem. Trust me. I've been there, done that, bought all the t-shirts. So I know. And you do too. Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, folks, all this stuff in the world is nothing more than a distraction from the primary objective and mission of the church. Pastor Jeff shared that with us just a few minutes ago. Sharing and ushering in the kingdom of the gospel of Christ. Some of Jesus' last words were these, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I have not read the book. I love reading books. But I have not read this book, but I probably will get it and read it. But I came across a quote from this book that's called The Garden by John Gordon. And on page 56, I think, do we have that? Yes. Oh, do we have that? Did I type that out, Susie? It's not a verse. It's no verse. It's just a slide that I typed out. John Gordon, I thought I did, but maybe I didn't. There it is. From that book comes this quote. The truth is, the day we die, it won't matter what kind of car we drive, how big our house is, how much money we have in the bank. Now, I would add who we voted for, for president, whether or not we took a vaccine, whether or not we wore a mask, seemed to be the hot issues of the day. But what will matter is, did we live the life God created us to live? Did we develop great relationships? Did we make a difference in the lives of other people? Did we spend our time, it's not up there, sharing the gospel of the kingdom and fulfilling the Great Commission? You see, at the end of their lives, far too many people realize they were focused on the wrong things. But by then, it's too late. Don't be this guy. Give me a next slide with Don't be this guy who says, life is short. I wish I spent more time arguing politics with strangers on the internet. Don't be that guy. How different would we and the world be if we spent as much time focusing on Jesus and His kingdom as we do the evening news and our constant doom scrolling and arguing on the internet? We are to be spending our time sharing the good news of the gospel of the kingdom and not scanning the internet or the cable TV for something to fight and argue about. Scripture tells us to look to the hills from which cometh my help. And that doesn't mean Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. My help comes from the Lord. When we become bothered by the news of the day or overwhelmed by an insurmountable problem or crisis, I would encourage you to do a quick assessment of your life and of yourself. I have to do this. Ask yourself a few questions. Have I truly and sincerely prayed about this and asked God what to do? And has God's Spirit spoken to me and given me direction on how I should react? God uses His Spirit in a lot of different ways. It could be through His Word. It could be through a combination of an inner voice speaking to you, verifying with the Word. It can be through a trusted, loving friend or spouse. Have I truly and sincerely prayed about this, or am I just reacting to what I see? Is my reaction a result of what I have seen with my physical eyes, or what I have heard with my physical ears? If so, then am I not reacting in the flesh and not the Spirit? In my trouble, am I placing my eyes on Jesus, or am I looking to the world around me with my fleshly eyes and reacting according to what I see and not what God's Spirit is telling me to do? Jehoshaphat could have very easily, he looked, he said, I don't know what to do, Lord, we're looking to You. And then the Spirit of the Lord moves on Jehazel and He tells him what to do. Hey, just stand here and watch. I got this. Folks, God has this. Whatever it is that you're going through, God has it. It's nothing new to Him. You know, when Jehoshaphat and Judah won the battle, the Scripture tells us that it took 3 days to gather the plunder. They came to the place of the battle. They looked down over the desert and saw only dead bodies in 2024. It was in this valley, called the Valley of Baraka, that God gave them the victory. Sometimes your greatest victory is going to come in your greatest valley. It's just the way it is, folks. I love reading. I often read and share with you books by author by the name of Frank Viola, and I love his books. He has such great insight. And I want to read you a little section here. Oops, I'm on the wrong page. 125. This is a book called Hang On, Let Go. Hang On, Let Go. It's the latest book he's written. It's what to do when your dreams are shattered and life is falling apart. And he writes very short chapters, and so then chapter 33, it's called Psalm 23 Remixed. Psalm 23:4 is familiar to virtually every Christian. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He says, I've remixed Psalm 23:4 to help you reflect on what the Lord is speaking to you during your crisis. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of virus, I will fear no evil. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of job loss, I will fear no evil. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of separation, I will fear no evil. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of illness, I will fear no evil. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of child rebellion, I will fear no evil. And he goes on, he says, insert a description of your own calamity for the word death in Psalm 23:4. And he asks this question, why are these above statements true? It's because, Lord, you are with me. Notice we walk through the valley. We don't escape it, but it's not our destination. We get through the valley to have to go. We get through the valley to get through the valley. We have to go through the valley. We don't run through it either. It's a walk, not a sprint. It's a slow, gradual process, but it will pass. Note, too, that the shadow can't hurt you. So acknowledge the shadow. It's real. Don't deny it. But don't mistake the size of the shadow for the size of the object. Why? Shadows always make objects appear bigger than they really are. Also, every time you see a shadow, there's a light nearby. Turn your back on the shadow. Turn toward the light. That's where you can be fearless. One of the songs that I cry every time I listen to is Tremble. The words to this song says, peace, bringing it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break at your name. Still, calm the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every wave at your name. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Breathe. Then call these bones to live. That valley of dry bones, come alive. Breathe. Call these bones to live. Call these lungs to sing. Once again, I will praise. Your name is light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Cannot tell you how many times all I knew to say, Jesus, Jesus, I have no idea what to do, but my eyes are on you. I'm watching you. You have the answer. I don't. When you take up your positions of prayer, praise, participation, by standing still and letting God do His business, and placing your eyes on the Lord, you will look down on your enemy or your problem and you'll see nothing but carnage because God will have destroyed every problem. When we commit ourselves to take up our positions, the positions of prayer, praise, participation, and placing our eyes on the Lord, we will have victory and great rejoicing. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Are you ready to take up your positions so God can deliver you from your enemy, from your problem, from your crisis, from your insurmountable issue. In just a second or a minute, they're going to play a video of a song called Still. Listen to the words. The words will be on the screen. Listen to the words. Listen to the song. And if you have a situation that you have reached the end, you said, I don't know what to do. I'm going to ask you to, where you're at, drop to your knees and pray. Come up here, drop to your knees and pray. Stand here, I'll pray with you. Pastor Jeff will pray with you. Pastor Temple, others will pray with you. But as this video plays, it's about 3 minutes and 20 seconds or something like that. That's the altar call time. So that's the time for you to come and make your decision. Am I going to still hang on to all this stuff? Or am I going to put my eyes on Jesus, pray about it, praise Him, and participate by standing still and keeping my eyes on Him so that I can get through this?